Welcome to the Dr. Hotze Report at the intersection of medicine and politics. Your host is Dr. Stephen Hotze, founder and CEO of Hotze Health and Wellness Center in Houston, Texas. Dr. Hotze is a graduate of the University of Texas Medical School in Houston and has overseen the treatment of 45,000 patients. He has been a leader in the wellness revolution since 1989. Dr. Hotze has hosted over 1,400 of his own radio programs and appeared on hundreds of other radio and TV programs across America. He's a renowned author, speaker, and conservative Christian patriot leader. Now, here's Dr. Hotze and the Dr. Hotze Report.
Welcome to the Dr. Hotze Report. I'm Dr. Steve Hotze, and so glad to have you here. We've got a very interesting guest on our program today to interview, Judd Garrett. And this gentleman he's a Renaissance man. He grew up, attended Catholic grade school, went to private high school, and then was accepted into Princeton, where, interestingly enough, he entered is originally to study religion, but he played football. So you don't see many guys that are in, you don't see many fellas that are doing religious education that end up on the football field, where at Princeton, he was a halfback and turned out to be an All-American, 2A All-American, which is tremendous, was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, played in the 1993 Super Bowl. Played for several different teams, including the Dallas Cowboys. And then when he was through with his career in football, which lasted 6 or 8 years, he ended up becoming assistant coaches for several different football teams in the NFL and ended up running the scouting program for the Dallas Cowboys. And now he's in the Dallas area where he does wealth management. But I heard about Judd from reading his magazine articles, and we're going to come back and talk to him about the current plight in America and his views on what's going on. You're going to find it fascinating, very interesting, and intriguing. I'm Dr. Hotze. We'll be back after this short break.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HotzeHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Hello, this is the Dr. Hotze Report. I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. I'm with my guest, Mr. Judd Garrett, who's out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, there's a big area metroplex up there. And he was a great football player, All-American football player in Princeton,
ended up playing professional ball, was on a Super Bowl team, the Philadelphia Eagles, 1993, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Judd?
It was the Cowboys in 93.
The Cowboys. In 1993. He ended up coaching in NFL, and then he ended up being a scout, head scout for the Dallas Cowboys. He's now in wealth management in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I came to know Judd by reading numerous articles that I read through Real Clear Politics. And then I have a friend of mine that kept sending me these articles from Objectivity is the Objective, and it was all Judd Garrett articles. And I went, this guy's thinking really clearly. I need to get him on my program. So I contacted my scheduler. I said, see if you can find out where in the world this Judd Garrett is, because I'd like to have him on the program. And they found him. And thank you, Judd, for coming on the program. Tell us some about your background, how you're growing up. I knew you grew up Roman Catholic. And what transformed your life and caused you to come out on the limb like you are now and taking strong, bold, courageous views like a Christian patriot would be doing and really challenging the leftists and the Marxists in our country on what they're doing to our country. You've got six kids, so I know you care about your family. And the article that most impressed me was the article about the village. And that's this whole concept that Hillary Clinton and the left says it takes a village to raise a child. I want to come back and talk about that, but tell us about yourself, sir.
Yeah, I grew up mainly in New Jersey and also in Cleveland, Ohio. And like you said, I was grew up Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school and had all of that education. And I went off to Princeton. I played football there. I was also a religion major. It was a comparative religion major. So we studied a lot of different religions, not just Christianity. And, it kind of challenged me a little bit in my faith, but I thought it was a good thing because I finished up school. I felt I was stronger in my faith because it was challenged like that. And just over years, my faith has gotten stronger. My brother-in-law, Harry Flaherty, is the head of Fellowship of Christian Athletes in New Jersey, and he's been a big mentor to me in my faith, and it's just gotten stronger and stronger over the years. I still consider myself a Roman Catholic, but I'll go to Bible studies and do all that to also strengthen my faith. And to answer your question, why did I decide to start writing my blog and my articles and challenging the what the left is trying to push on our country is I'm scared for America a little bit. I got six children and I'm trying to raise them the right way. I'm trying to, be a good influence and teach them, the Christian values and morals that they need to not only live a productive life, but also have a strong spiritual life. And I feel like what the left is doing to our country, they're trying to strip that from us, from our kids. And, we need to stand up against it. We need to point it out where it's wrong and just defend, our values and what we believe in. Because not only are they just presenting, a contrary view as we have, they're just trying to destroy what we're all about. They're trying to eliminate us. And that's a very scary proposition for me, but it's really scary when I think about my children.
Okay, so tell us this. I want you to talk us through this whole concept and show us why it's a lie. This concept like, it takes a village to raise a child, said Hillary Clinton, and all the leftists do. It's all about what's good for the community. We've got to do, everybody's got to be in it for everybody else. And they even try to phrase it in Christian terms. We're supposed to be less and think less of ourselves and less of others. So that means we've got to comply and whatever. Basically, that's what the government and the socialists do to try to convince people to comply with their philosophy of life, which ultimately starts with an atheistic philosophy of life. You become your own God and determine right from wrong and don't have an outside standard. So tell us about this article about the village. and about why that's a wrong way to think about life and why the family is the source of values and the church is the source of values and not the village.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. I mean, Hillary Clinton wrote that book back in the 90s as she was preparing for her first run as president. And it was called It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. It goes back to an old African saying from you know, a couple hundred years ago. And, you know, she tried to put that idea, that concept onto our country. And a lot of people bought into it because, you know, I've heard a lot over the years, people, you know, whether it's on TV, whether I'm reading an article, whether actually it's just a normal conversation I'm having with people, they always say it takes a village, and really it doesn't take a village. It takes a two-parent family to raise children. And if we leave it up to the village, you got to look around and see what the village is doing to our kids. I mean, look in our classrooms. They're teaching radical gender ideology. They're teaching critical race theory. They're teaching a lot of things that are antithetical to what we believe in. So if we turn it over to the village, how do we know the village is going to be teaching our kids what we want them to be taught? So it's very scary. And at the heart of this whole concept of it takes a village, it's the far left trying to impose their Marxist ideology on us. When we agree that it takes a village to raise our children, then the state's going to step in and they're going to assume the role of the village. They're going to have more say over our kids than we do. And we see that with the radical gender ideology. You know, schools and the state are transitioning children to the opposite gender. Talking 12, which is totally, 13, 14-year-old kids.
It is totally, and they're doing it to younger kids. I'm kids under 10. I mean, I'm going to say right here, it's wicked, it's evil, it's satanic what's going on. These people, I'm convinced, have either, many of them that are in that movement are demon-possessed. I'm convinced of that. They're so wicked and evil to take a child. It wasn't good enough that they could kill a child in the womb through abortion. Wipe them out. And it's a death culture. The ones that are living, they want to cause them to adopt a different view of who they are. God said, I created man and woman. You know, as I've said it, Judd, there's stallions and there's mares. There's bulls and there's heifers. There's roosters and there's hens. There's a man and a woman. That's it. That's the way God made it. That's just biological fact. And for these idiots, it shows you, when you remove God from the culture and any standard, anything goes. You may not know this, or you may know it, and I'm talking to the listeners as well. In England, there's a whole group of people that identify as dogs, and they wear dog collars, and they have masters, and they bark, literally. And they wear, I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen that, Judd?
No, I haven't seen it at all.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just a few, thousands identify as dogs. And people say, yeah, they're dogs. And they get treated like dogs. So this is complete insanity. When you deny the truth of God's word and what he said about his creation, and we're created, you fall into a host of serious mental disorders and spiritual disorders. And they want to, and they want to impose this. They don't want to just have a few people go into what they call transition mode. Those that have accepted this lie want it to be imposed upon everybody, and your kids and my kids and your grandkids and my grandkids. That's where they're going with it, and they're in the schools. By the way, Judd, do you know where you find the highest concentration of pedophiles? If you were going to look for a pedophile, where in the world do you think a pedophile would go?
Teaching school.
Absolutely. So who do you think is teaching these little kindergartners, first and second graders, who's sexualizing them? The definition of a pedophile is an adult who sexualizes children. This is what the teachers are doing in these classes to the, now, I'm not talking about, it's wrong to do it to any kids in school, but I'm talking to little kids whose minds are just brand new and fertile, and they don't know, they don't know how to focus on anything. And they plant these seeds in their minds that confuses them about who they are. And then they confuse their parents. And these are pedophiles. And what they want to do is they want to groom them for one reason. They want to groom them so they can recruit them into their perverted system. The big problem we have, there's a big movement to legalize pedophilia. Now, let me mention one other thing. You may or may not know it, but the audience for sure doesn't know it. Tomorrow in the Texas House, there will be a vote on Senate Bill 14, which was passed 19-12. All the Republicans voted for it in the Senate bill. And it bans transgender sex change drugs and transgender sex mutilation surgery. And it revokes the license of any doctor that would participate in this activity. It's passed the Senate. Speaker Phelan in the House has finally taken leadership, and he's bringing it up for a vote tomorrow in the Texas House. And in the second half of the program, I'll give you Speaker Phelan's phone number, and I want you to call up and say thank you for taking leadership. They wouldn't be bringing it up in the Texas House unless it was going to be, it would pass. We have 83 votes to 67 votes for Republicans. They're bringing it up tomorrow. And if you can, and you're listening to this program live, I want to encourage you to go to Austin tomorrow. Get there no later than mid-morning. The vote's going to come up late morning, early afternoon. And I promise you, the sodomites will be filling the gallery. We need to have Christian patriots filling the gallery that stand for family values and traditional Christian moral values. We need to be there to give our legislators encouragement, because the other side intimidates. I've been there this session, and I've saw them when they had 1,000 or 2,000 grown men walking around in high heels with dresses on. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up in the Texas Capitol. I'm sorry, I got on my high horse there, Judd, but I know you
agree. It's okay.
No, I agree with that. So we're seeing this whole deal about this whole transgender movement, and it's, sir, if somebody had told you 5 years ago that this would, we'd be fighting this in the legislative sessions, you go like, you're crazy. Nobody's going to accept this.
Well, that's the slippery slope that you get, is that, you know, a few years ago, it was gay marriage. All right. I want is gay marriage. You know, it doesn't hurt anybody. And then once
you let the cat out of the bag, sir,
push the next thing. And this is why we're dealing with this right now, because, you know, we've conceded too much ground on some of the other issues. So we have to fight this. And you're right. It's all about indoctrination. They want to get to the 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds because those are the ones that are most easily indoctrinated.
Exactly.
And that's why they're going after those kids. There's no reason why a first grade teacher should be talking to a first grade 6-year-old about sex. No reason at all.
That's exactly right. So that's why I'm saying anybody that does that is a pedophile. I happen to believe this. I believe in Operation Millstone. I believe that any individual that molests a child, that should be a capital offense. In Florida, if they molest a child, it's a life imprisonment now. I don't think that's gone far enough. Having been in medical practice and talked to people that have had this happen to them, that have been molested as children, it has a huge detrimental psychological effect on them for the rest of their lives. In fact, Judd, I talked to a, where are we time-wise? I can't even see my time, Heather. Heather, are you there? I mean, producer, are you there? Can you see our time?
Seven minutes.
7 minutes? Okay, yes. Good. So there, I can see it now. So I have a fellow I talked to here during the session who was up there to testify against trans sex drugs and sex surgery on children. And he had been trapped in that movement. And he said, through the grace of God, I mean, somebody led the guy to Christ, and he completely repudiated it. But he's, and I said, let me ask you a question. How many people do you know in this movement that you've known in the LGBTQIA, IA stands for pedophilia, IA, philia, plus the people in that movement and transgender people that you know, what percent of them were molested as children? And he was kind of silent for a minute and he said, everyone I've ever talked to, everyone I know was molested as a child. He said, I was molested as a child. And I said, by whom? My father. What? You've got to be kidding me. This is, and you don't think it has a dramatic impact on these kids? It ruins their lives. That's why I believe that it ought to be a capital offense. If anybody molests a child, it ought to be a capital offense. You can say, well, that's kind of being hard. Hello, what do you want to do with them? That's good.
I have a six-year-old daughter right now, and you know, sure, she's the most innocent and precious, and the last thing on her mind is anything to do with sex or anything like that. She just wants to, play with her Barbies, play soccer, be with her friends. None of that stuff is even in her mind right now, and these adults are trying to come in there, and you know, they don't do it at her school, but I know they're doing it at other
schools across the country. They're doing it.
Yeah.
And by the way, talking about schools, Judd and listeners, a very important election is happening this Saturday. Across the state of Texas, many independent school districts are having elections for school board members. I am the head of CRTX News, Conservative Republicans of Texas News. I am blasting out to 500,000 emails. If you're on the, if you voted three times in a Republican primary in your life, you're on my email list, and you'll get a list of all the candidates that we've endorsed in every independent school district. If there's a conservative running for a seat, we've identified them, and we've collaborated with other conservative organizations, and we will send a list of those people. As a matter of fact, you can go to crtxnews.com. And you can see the list there of, and you can look up your district, and it's an alphabetical order, and see if you have an election. We also have a link there that you can print up all the lists of all the different school boards. And we also have a link that you can go to find out where the election is being held in your school district. And I want to encourage every conservative and Christian adult to go vote in these school board elections. They have very, very low turnouts. And if you will make it a point to go vote and vote for those conservatives, turn a lot of these school boards. And we've done it down in the greater Houston area, and I know they've done it in other areas of the state. So I want to encourage you to do that. Go to CRTX, C as in cat, RTXnews.com, and you can look on there, and you'll be able to find in those districts who we're endorsing. So what district? You know what district you're in up there, Judd?
I'm in Dallas. So
yeah.
We're in the Dallas County area.
Right, yeah. But so there'll be there'll be numerous independent school districts within Dallas County.
Yeah, we're in the Highland Park Independent School District.
Yeah. So we will have on the list, we have a list, so you can go down there, and if there are conservatives running and they're opposing somebody or they're running and being opposed, we identify in any, we didn't identify the non-contested races because we just didn't put them on there to save room, but we have every contested race where we know there's a conservative who wants to get back to the basics of doing what? Teaching kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. I mean, this is not rocket science. Now, you played football. What did you like about Lombardi when he coached for the Green Bay Packers? What was his fundamentals? What did he teach his players over and over again?
He taught them the fundamentals. He taught them how to play the right way, the basics.
Block, tackle, blocking and tackling. I mean, he practiced that till the guys just thought he was crazy, but he won numerous with the Green Bay Packers. They won numerous national championships because he practiced the basics. That's what we have to get back to in the schools, folks. We've got to get back to practicing the basics. All this critical race theory and all this, gender identity is a bunch of, as Patton would say, and I'm quoting Patton, it's a bunch of crap, okay? That's all it is. It's worthless. We've got to get back to the basics, but they don't want your kids to get back to the basics because then they become educated. And then they can read and write and think for themselves. They don't want your children to think for themselves. They want to make them morally depraved so they have no moral values. And when you do, and when you don't have any moral values, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have any courage. When you're involved in immorality, you destroy your courage. It destroys your heart and you won't stand up. And that's one thing I admire about you, Judd, that by the way you write and your stand tells me everything about your character. I'm not saying you're a perfect man and you probably know you're not like me, but you're doing your best to stay on track and that gives you the courage to be able to stand up against the evil forces that are trying to destroy our country. We're going to be back after this break. I got on my high horse there and I'll let Judge get in more in the second half of the program. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about meritocracy. And we're going to talk about Tucker Carlson and see what Judd has to say about that. Thanks for joining us on the Dr. Hotze Report. I'm Dr. Hotze. We'll be back with you shortly.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard-won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at FridayOnStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at FridayOnStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Frideon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrideonStore.com today.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Hotze Report. I'm Dr. Steve Hotze with All American, Judd Garrett. Judd Garrett is an outstanding Christian conservative writer and leader. He's written numerous articles in Objectivity is the Object. Is that one of your websites?
Yeah, Objectivity is the Objective, yes.
If they want to find the website, what do they Google? Or what do they do, DuckDuckGo?
Objectivity is the objective.com, and it'll pop right up. So
Objectivity is the objective.com, and you can see all his outstanding writings. And you go on, I publish these in CRTX News frequently. I put his articles in there, and you're going to find it very, very helpful to you in developing your arguments to be able to advance our Christian and conservative principles among the people you work with, live around, and even the people that you oppose. These are some wonderful articles. So you also have an individual website, and what is that?
I'm on Substack as well. So I have my articles show up on Substack as well under the same name. So.
Okay. Objectivity is the object. All one word, .com. And so Judd has written a book, and it's entitled No Wind. So do we have it up there? Yeah. No Wind. Good. There it is. See if we can, there it is. So it's an ocean with no wind. Now, I looked at that and I thought to myself, what in the world is the book about? So tell us what the book's about, Judd.
Well, it's a coming of age story about a few kids growing up on the Jersey Shore, going to Catholic school, playing baseball, and just, you know, from the time they're about 5 years old all the way through high school and all the adventures they go through. But also there's a lot of life lessons. There are a lot of spiritual challenges that these kids go through. And I think it's a good read. And, you know, everybody that has read it has told me that they really enjoyed it. And it's, you know, brings them back to their childhood, but it also gets them to think a little bit as well.
And as I read notes about the book, I told you I had a feeling this was drawn a lot from your life experiences and what you went through and your friends went through growing up.
Yeah, we grew up part of the time on the Jersey Shore over the summers, and we played baseball, and so a lot of the the elements of the book come from my life experiences, and a lot of the characters are based on, you know, people that I grew up with, and a lot of the stories were actual stories that I experienced one way or the other. So there's a lot of autobiographical elements to it, but it's basically a fiction novel, though.
Yeah. So what are your grade school and high school buddies that have read it? Have they said, what are you telling that story for?
No, they all liked it. They thought it was pretty interesting. You know, so, I mean, some of these, what happens is some of these stories that you have, these funny stories that you have, they kind of go away because they're never written down. And I was able to put a lot of those stories, you know, in a book form, and, you know, they're going to live a little bit longer than we do, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that makes me think about what happened a weekend ago. I had my 55th high school reunion at our home with, and we only had 150 in our class. 30 have died already, believe it or not. We were the class of 68, St. Thomas High School, Texas. And Jim Shanahan was there, and Joe Catania, and Steve Green, Hank Houghton. We had a bunch of the old guys there, and we sat around and told the old stories that we tell every time we get together. We used to do 10-year reunions, but the guys are dying like flies, and we decided to make it every 5 years, and now we think we're going to make it every year.
Yeah.
So we can make sure we don't lose everybody. If you wait 5 years, you might lose half the guys that came this time. So I wanted to plug your book and let you plug it. It's called No Wind. Where can they get it? Can they get it on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon.com. Just type in No Wind in my name, and it'll pop right up, and they'll have one shipped out to you in a couple days.
Right. Now, on Substack, what is your articles posted under on Substack? Your name?
You can go under my name. Yes.
Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Yes.
Okay, let's, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Tucker Carlson. I wanted to talk about meritocracy. I thought that was, this whole concept of meritocracy, you know, they've got this, the liberals have this idea of DEI, which means diversity, something in inclusion, diversity. What does that DEI stand for? What?
Equity.
I'm sorry?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah. Diversity, which means we got to accept anybody who does anything, no matter what their behavior is. You can't say any behavior is wrong or condemn it or judge it. You know, whatever people want to do, they can do. And you've got to accept them. And you've got to have diverse. In fact, you've got to, they want to force people to accept people that are involved in what would be considered historically and morally perverted activities. You've got to accept them, like homosexuals, lesbians, people that want to dress up like women. You're supposed to accept those. From a religious point of view, if you really believe the Bible, you can't accept their behavior. You can be kind to them, but you say, we're just not going to have people that behave like that around us. We're just not going to accept it. It's wrong and it's sinful. Nobody wants to call a sin anymore, for crying out loud. If you're involved in this act, if you're involved in fornication, you're involved in adultery, you're involved in pornography, you're involved in, same-sex relations and all that, the Bible says it's a sin. And you can have your life changed if you trust Christ as your Savior. Bible says, confess your sins and repent. That's all you have to do. And that was the message of John the Baptist. Last week we had Doug Giles on, and he talked about a rude awakening before a great awakening. And the rude awakening is John the Baptist, where he comes in and says, you guys are living in sin, you better repent. And he made Jesus was compared to John the Baptist. Both those guys riled up the religious establishment. Both of them met their fate. One had his head chopped off, and Jesus was crucified. So these men were willing to stand up against the evil forces, and the evil forces really didn't like them very much. So if you're going to stand up as a Christian, expect to get some flack. Expect to get shot at. You're going to do that. I'm sure you have, Judd, writing all the stuff you're writing. I'm sure you've had people writing against you, and I'm sure you've got threats like all of us have, but you stood your ground, and I admire you for that. So talk to us about the difference between DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion versus meritocracy.
Yeah, meritocracy, which is what America was founded on and what all the great institutions of America, was produced by, is choosing people based on their ability, choosing people based on, what they produce and what their skills and abilities are. And, slowly but surely over the last, 5 to 10 years, they've incorporated this DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which means we're no longer going to put ability and talent and production as the number one criteria on who we hire and who we promote. We're gonna make those decisions based on skin color or gender or lifestyle or all these different things in the name of diversity or inclusion. But in reality, what they're doing is that they're including people who aren't as qualified as other people. And that doesn't mean just because you're quote unquote part of the diversity that you'll never qualified, but that should never be the number one criteria that people use to determine who they should hire or who gets into a school or anything like that. And that's what we've been seeing. We're not making decisions based on merit anymore. We're making decisions based on these other characteristics, of these people that have nothing to do with how they'll perform their jobs or how well they'll do in school.
Do you want your heart surgeon to have earned his medical degree and his license? Not because he was really very smart. He got into medical school with low grades, made low grades in med school, got into a residency program because he was part of a minority class. They let him become a surgeon. Is that the guy you want operating on you, or do you want the guy that was bright, made great grades to get in med school, was a valedictorian in med school or summa cum laude, and went to a top residency program in the country. And because of his merit, he was given a position as head of cardiovascular surgery at a hospital here in Houston, Texas, at the Cardiovascular Institute. You want him to operate on on some guy that got in there just because he was a quota. It's not rocket science. You don't have to. It's not rocket science to know how you'd answer that.
Yeah, but obviously you'd want the most qualified guy.
Right.
But the problem with the diversity, equity, and inclusion is now when you're at a hospital and you see a minority doctor. In the past, just assume that this is the qualified guy.
Right.
That he test and took all the right courses and was successful in medical school and residency, and he's a qualified guy. So you had no problem, if it was a minority. Now that we know that they are purposely taking in people, who aren't as qualified into these schools, now that question comes up: is this person really qualified? It's not really, it's not a racist statement to make that statement. It's just a reaction to the racist DEI that they have implemented into our society.
Right. I had another way to describe DEI. What did I say? It was discrimination, exclusion, and what was the last? And indoctrination. Discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination. That's what DEI really is. Now, it's interesting. They talk about, we have to have diversity and inclusion. So that means if you're white and you're really smart, we can't include you because we have to have diversity and equity. You were raised white and you're only doing very well because you were raised in the right family. Well, that's a bunch of bunk. You and I both know white guys that really didn't apply themselves, weren't bright, didn't merit anything and haven't done well in their lives. You and I know blacks, you and I know other minority groups that have applied themselves and done very well. Look at the Vietnamese that came over from Vietnam after the war. They came over here, they're industrious as they can be and have been very successful in American society. More successful than a lot of the minorities that have been here all the time. Why is that? As a matter of fact, you probably realize this, Judd, that when they have these DEI programs to let less than meritorious individuals into colleges, they block out the Chinese. The Chinese aren't allowed because they score off the charts. And so they're not included in the diversity, even though they're Chinese and from another country. They're not given the benefit that other minorities are because they do well. Why do they do well? Because they've got a strong culture where they got family values. In fact, the old Chinese proverb said, it takes a family to make a child. It doesn't take a village, it takes a family, a father and a mother. In talking about that, share with us the Marxist point of view on family and religion. Compare that to the historic Christian view of family, marriage, family, and religion.
Yeah, well, historically, from the Christians, you put God first, you put family second, and those are the main parts of your life, and you really try to make them as strong as possible and allow them to direct your life. And the Marxists are doing the exact opposite. First thing they want to do is remove God from your life. They're going to remove God from every part of public life, public schools, the public square, and they're really gonna try to remove God from your personal life. And then once they do that, they're gonna come after you. And as we talked about in the previous, these schools, they're transitioning kids without telling the family. I mean, it's a complete effort to destroy the family and break that bond between child and the parents, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take God out of this country. They're trying to take family out of this country. So there'll be a big void in everybody's life, and what will happen is that they'll turn to government. Government will become the new God. Government will become the new family, and everyone will become reliant on the government. That's what they want. That's why they're attacking God. That's why they're attacking family, because that's the only way that they can implement their Marxist strategy.
And the only people that benefit from that are the people that run the system. You think Stalin starved to death? Do you think he had a hard time getting a good bottle of wine? Do you think Mao Tse-tung in China ever missed a meal when he was leader? He lived like royalty. They live in palaces. All these authoritarian, totalitarian rulers, they live in, and everybody else is a slave. And it's a collective. The collective is the socialist, communist point of view. It's a commune. It's a community. When you hear somebody say it just takes a community or a village to raise a child, they're talking about communism. And socialism is the step to communism. And that's what they want in our country, socialize everything. That's why they're coming out with all this DEI and equity. It's got to be an equity. Oh, if I've worked hard and done well in life and somebody else hasn't done in life, then that's not equitable. I must have had an unfair advantage. Therefore, he deserves to have what I have. Well, this is what communism gives you. Communism is an envy-based system. And this is the envy. A communist says, I can't have what you have. They're not only jealous, but they're envious. Envious is, I can't have what you have, so I'm going to destroy what you have so nobody has it. It's not like I want what you have and I'm going to take it. I'm going to destroy it. And that's the way the communists do. They destroy a culture. And that's what they're doing in our school system. That's what they're doing to our children. And the people that stand up and stand up against that meet a huge round of opposing fire from the opposition. Example, recent example is Tucker Carlson. Tell us about your view about what happened to Tucker and why it happened to him, sir.
Well, it doesn't make any sense why Tucker Carlson was fired. He was their number one ratings person, news anchor on the network. His ratings were so much better than every other person. He led his demographic. So they fire him. Why do they fire him? Because he was saying the things that you're not allowed to say in this country. He was quoting the Ukraine war. He was talking about that. He continually attacked the Uniparty, the Democrats and the Republicans who work together.
They all work together.
To take it to the little guy. He always talked about that. I mean, time and again, he talked about the topics that you are not allowed to talk about. And he would bring up the election. He'd bring up the 2020 election. How does a guy like Joe Biden get 81 million votes? I mean, Barack Obama, the most he ever got was 69 million. How was he able to attract 12 million more voters than a guy like Barack Obama? As much as I like Obama, I have to give him credit. He was an unbelievable political campaigner, and he could only get 69 million, and somehow some guy that had never campaigned and hid in his basement got 12 million more votes. So Tucker Carlson, he brought up all those topics that you were not allowed to speak about. And
he brought up the trend. He brought up this whole deal about the trans and all that stuff. He was bringing that up regularly.
So they had to get rid of him. And I think, Fox News, I haven't watched Fox News since he was fired. I mean, Fox News showed us,
what their colors are.
Yeah. I mean, because he was the most popular guy. He was the guy that people like you and I watched, and they're going to take him off the air for no, I mean, if he had no ratings, take him off the air, but he was killing it in the ratings and doing extremely successful, and they removed him because they didn't like what he was talking about, because he was actually speaking the truth, and you can't have that. So
I recently saw a video of what he had to say about the Ukraine war and how the government's lying to us about it, and we're really at war with Russia. We've got our people over there, our tanks over there, our missiles over there, all guns and war that we're giving to them with our advisors over there. We're at war with Russia. It's a proxy war, but we're at war with Russia. Also, the Ukrainians are getting pounded, and we're trying to convince people that the Russians are going to get beaten by the Ukrainians. Really? I don't think so. And so he called it a lie. And remember, about a week ago, somebody came out with all this internal document, and they blasted the guy that was a whistleblower. All the documents on the inside say exactly what Tucker was saying, that we're getting our tails beat and we're at war with Russia. They didn't like that. By the way, he was on, he spoke at the Heritage Foundation a week ago Saturday. He gave a 26-minute remark. If you want to look at that, go to DuckDuckGo, Tucker Carlson at Heritage Foundation, and that would have been on the 21st. So go take a look at that. It's a wonderful message he gave, and I wonder if that's not the message that caused him to get canned, because he came in on Monday morning. That's when they canned him. One last point. Tell us what we need to do, sir. You got about 40 seconds.
Well, we need to continue to reaffirm our faith in God and believe in God and pray and stand up for Christian principles and morals and fight. I mean, I believe the devil's behind all this ugliness we see in this country, and we got to fight against the devil by standing strong to our principles, and it's going to be a battle, but I think we're going to win it out in the end.
Well, for any of you that are concerned and fearful, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and discipline. And if you're stuck in fear, I want to encourage you to put your confidence in Christ as your Savior, Lord, and King. Stand up for Him, ask Him to come into your life, read your Bible, get strong in your faith, and stand up and let's oppose this evil and turn our nation back to its Christian heritage. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you so much, Judd Garrett. We'll be back again next week, same time, same station. I'm Dr. Hotze. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Dr. Hotze Report at the intersection of medicine and politics with Dr. Stephen Hotze as your host. Join us again for the Dr. Hotze Report every Monday, 4 p.m. Central on Brighteon.tv.